Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Paleo Solution Podcast. Before we get to the fun, here's a quick word from one of our sponsors.
Well, I love that there's a lot of different variety. It's kind of like a surprise every month when you get the box. And it's fun that they'll include different recipes so you can think about what you want to try making this stuff with, because there's certain cuts that I probably would have never bought on my own. But then when I get them in the butcher box, it pushes me to try out new recipes and to think outside of the normal recipes that I would normally be making.
Lauren is a customer of Butcher Box, a monthly membership service that delivers 100% grass-fed beef, organic chicken, and heritage breed pork straight to your door.
I just love the quality. I think that anything that I'm making with any of the Butcher Box meats comes out so good. It's so juicy and delicious. And it's really fun to just push yourself outside of your comfort zone and try different cuts of meat you otherwise might not have bought before.
Take the stress out of eating healthy and try ButcherBox today. There's free shipping, and you'll even get a free package of bacon. Go to getbutcherbox.com/rob. That's getbutcherbox.com/ROBB.
Hey folks, six listeners can't be wrong. It's another edition of the Paleo Solution Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Wolf. Today's guest is Steve Kam. He is the intrepid adventurer, founder of Nerd Fitness, and the author of Level Up Your Life, How to Unlock Adventure, Happiness, and Happiness by Becoming the Hero of Your Own Story. Steve, what's going on, man?
Rob, what's going on, dude? So great to talk to you and be a part of this. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm super stoked. I think it was Squatchy that made the connection for us. So I'm really
good old
excited.
Squatchy.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, if there were no Squatch, there would not be a podcast or a blog or much of anything else. So
that's not a world I want to live in anyway. No. So I'm glad we're in the situation we are.
Exactly. So Steve, give folks a little bit of your background. You have a really really interesting story, and you know, the founding of Nerd Fitness, and then your book. Give folks some background on you.
At the most base level, I like to say, like, hey guys, I'm Steve. I'm a nerd. I try to eat healthy, and I love deadlifting.
Nice.
So in a little bit longer form. I guess now 8 years ago, I had this idea to start a website to help other people like myself that considered themselves relatively nerdy, probably worked a desk job, played probably a few too many video games, maybe had an addictive personality, but were interested in getting started with health and fitness. And as somebody that had spent years trying to get healthy myself and consistently ran into a lot of misinformation on the internet and had tried following bodybuilder programs and you know, pretty much tried everything under the sun, I finally found a system that worked for me. Believe it or not, it was diet and exercise.
Shocker.
Yeah, right? Right. So I figured I had to tell the world about the secret I had discovered. And I wanted to do it in a way that spoke my language and gave me a chance to tell and help people avoid the, you know, 6-7 years of mistakes that I had made. So I Googled nerd and fitness and nothing popped up. So I started writing articles about Star Wars and push-ups and Legos and paleo diets and kind of chronicled not only my journey, but the journey of other people as well, who considered themselves nerdy and wanted to get fit. And it has since evolved from this, you know, kind of one-man blog into this worldwide ragtag misfit community of people from all walks of life that are helping each other live better lives, become superheroes, and as we like to say, level up their lives in interesting ways too. So it's already become something far greater than I could have imagined. And I feel so honored and excited every day to work on stuff like this and write about things that I really love.
That's awesome. I've got to give some full disclosure here. I forget when it was. Somebody shot me a link. They're like, hey, have you checked out this Nerd Fitness thing? And I like cruised onto there and I started looking around and it literally was like, no, I could have done it so much better. So you've done a really, really amazing job. You've had kind of a brick and mortar presence with all this. How have you kind of parlayed the information that you've learned from, you know, working directly in front of people into working with people and providing, I guess, education to the masses online? Like, I feel sure. Like there's some really good lessons that you learned there, but it's also a very different thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what's funny is actually when I started, the first thing that I did, so I was working a regular day job, and I believe actually I stumbled into a bookstore on my lunch break, and stumbled across Tim Ferriss's For Our Work Week, and picked it up, read it cover to cover in about 2 days. And that's what the initial idea came to me, where it was like, oh, combining something that you love and a social group that you're a part of. So, you know, I picked up nerdfitness.com, and my initial thoughts were like, man, if, you know, if I'm going to start a website, like, nobody's going to take me seriously on this. I need to really dig into this and learn and research more and start training people and so on and so forth. So I started picking up some clients on the side and training people in person after getting a personal trainer certification, and tried to learn everything that I possibly could. And eventually I got to the point where I realized, like, in order for me to impact enough people, impacting them one-on-one, you know, was very helpful. It was cool to see them interact. But I realized like, man, if this is going to become what I think it has the chance to become, I need to really dig into this online presence. So I actually stopped training people in person and put all of the focus into writing quality content, connecting with people, trying to help them online, and built this relatively large online following. We're closing in on 300,000 email subscribers up to this point. And now it's funny, I'm kind of going back in the other direction, where we now have this thing called Camp Nerd Fitness, where we bring people to an in-person event, and I've done meetups throughout the country and trying to explore more ways to kind of go back towards this idea of interacting with people in real life outside of just the internet. So the internet has been really monumental in allowing us to scale the scope of what Nerd Fitness is, and the impact and the number of people we can help. But I've just seen how powerful it can become as well when you can connect with these people in real life and show them, like, hey, you're not alone. If you want to debate Star Wars versus Star Trek, or talk about your favorite game, your favorite book, and get dressed up, but you're also interested in eating healthier and you know, learning about how to squat properly or whatever it may be, there's a place for that too, and you get to be 100% yourself.
It's awesome, and I'm always, being the objective scientist that I am, I look for confirmation bias everywhere. So I was totally fishing for that, but you know, it's been a similar experience. We started with our gym in Chico, and then I started blogging, eventually wrote a book, started a podcast. And what was interesting, though, was that then there was kind of this clear desire, or maybe a need for some in-person contact. And so it becomes kind of this full circle thing, and that sure. That community piece is really the glue that keeps it all together. And the online part is strong, but having those occasional, you know, in-person experiences, whether it's PaleoFX or a camp like what you guys are doing, like, it really is the glue that keeps the whole thing going. It's pretty fascinating.
It's the thing I'm most proud of, honestly. When I started, I realized that, you know, when it began, it was just me writing articles and people reading them. And the conversation was very one way, or, you know, it was them writing to me, me writing back, me responding to comments, but there was not a lot of interaction between them, between readers. And, you know, I didn't see myself as an expert anyway. Like, I still put it on nerdfitness.com 8 years later, where I now dedicate my life to this stuff. I still say, like, look, I'm not an expert. You know, I do everything I can. I experiment on myself in any way I can. I study every book and read every study and do anything I can to learn more. But I'm not an expert. I'm a guy in the trenches with you who struggles with a lot of the same things and just a few steps ahead of where you might be. So I wanted to foster and really grow the community aspect of Nerd Fitness. And the way I found to do that, we have launched, you know, free message boards, and we now have some really, really cool community sites that have popped up through through Facebook, or we actually, like, regional groups of people that now get together that are part of Nerd Fitness. And it was funny, when I started it, I was like, guys, I don't want us to be called a community. Like, it's not nerdy enough. What are we called? Like, do you guys want to build an empire with me, or do you want to start a rebellion? And, like, the response overwhelmingly came back in the form of everybody wanted to be part of a rebellion. So that's why the Nerd Fitness community is so lovingly referred to as the Rebellion, and my official job title is Rebel Leader, because awesome. Of Star Wars and because you got to have some fun with it.
I do have to admit that the occasional times that I play a Star Wars related PlayStation type game, I do like being in the position of saying "Die, rebel scum." But I'm right there with you. I'm totally right there. I would want to be on the rebel side too.
Sure.
So talk to me about Level Up Your Life. What was the inspiration for that? And you know, I I'm just, I don't know if tickled is a nerdy enough term to pay homage to this thing, but, you know, I think we've really gone around the like sleep, food, exercise, gut biome. Like, we've done that well. Like, we've done a pretty good job on that, but there's so much more to this story with like kind of optimized living and getting beyond fears and figuring out what the internal stories are that may be hamstringing people. And I feel like you just address that stuff in a phenomenal way. Like, what was the inspiration for this? And where did you, I guess, where did you get the insight that there was so much more to this than just like eat a paleo diet, deadlift, and do some sprints? Like, there's a lot more to it than that, even though in some ways there's not, but I mean, there clearly is.
Well, it's funny. I mean, at its base level, like, if you do those things, if you sprint and pick up heavy things and eat a paleo diet, like, you're going to be in really great shape. What I wanted to dig into and kind of how this book came about is I wanted people to think about why they were doing these things. You know, a lot of people start exercising because their doctor tells them to, or because they want to see their feet again, or they're just like, man, I'm ready to start dating and I don't feel good about myself. So they dutifully run on a treadmill and they try to eat more vegetables and they do these things. And, you know, with Nerd Fitness, I like to think of it as, you know, it's a fitness website for people that don't love fitness. Like, initially don't love fitness. I see what we do is removing the obstacles between people and what the type of life that they're actually interested in living. Of course, the initial way we get them in there is with proper health advice and, you know, behavioral psychology and video game mechanics and you know, certain types of motivation and things like that. But ultimately the goal is at the end of the day is like, are you proud of what you did today? And do you wake up excited every morning to do the things that you want to do? And like, if you can't say yes to those two questions, it's like, okay, like those are things we can work on. So as I mentioned earlier, the 4-hour work week was really instrumental in changing the path that my life was on. And for years, I resisted the idea of writing a book. And you know, I'd been approached by publishers. They're like, oh man, you run a website called Nerd Fitness. Just put together a book about like push-ups and workout plans and eating better, and we'll put it out and you'll sell a bunch of copies. And I was like, that doesn't excite me. And you know, I've written about that in Nerd Fitness. I published 700 plus articles about these things. And I want to write something I'm fired up about and something that I hope can change the path that somebody's life is on. And that book ended up becoming Level Up Your Life, which I refer to as a personal development or, you know, growth book for skeptical people that are probably skeptical of personal development. So it's the idea of how do you help somebody live a better life and doing so in a way that is both entertaining and grounded in, you know, scientific research. So the book kind of walks you through this path of both inspiration, motivation, education, but it helps you overcome, as you mentioned earlier, overcoming fears, how to properly set goals, how to start traveling, how to determine what type of, you know, as we say in the book, or as I say in the book, what type of superhero you want to become. So it's like a nerdy self-help book kind of that really digs into the nitty-gritty to help people do the things that they say they've always wanted to do and haven't been able to accomplish up to this point. So it breaks things down into step-by-step information, pulls motivation from some of my favorite resources like Star Wars or Marvel Comics or video games from my childhood and things like that, and helps people kind of put mental models and set the right mind frame so that they can start doing the things that they said they've always wanted to do.
God, I'm so jealous. My life could be so much more fun if my life were your life. If I were to become an alter ego superhero, I would be you. So I'm not too sure. What was that movie where the guy like kills the dude and assumes his identity? Oh, I'm recording this. I shouldn't say that. So yeah. Let's talk about that. Like, create your own alter ego. Like, you have a list of some of the things in here. The thing that struck me about that I found really interesting, and this may be off in the weeds, but I've done some reading about like when people speak a different language, they're literally a different person. Like my wife is fluent in Italian, and when we go to Italy and she starts interfacing with the locals there, she is a totally different person. In English, she's kind of a quiet, reserved person. When she is speaking Italian, she is outgoing, she dances, she, you know, smokes, drinks, goes wild. And I find that I'm reasonably good at Spanish. Like Spanish Rob is a very different person than English Rob. Like, does that kind of play into this alter ego thing a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So as a kid growing, I used to dress up like Superman probably once a week when I was a little kid. Like, it wasn't even Halloween. It would just be like a random Tuesday, and I'd come down the stairs in you know, the Superman costume with red underwear on the outside. And my parents were like, well, all right, I guess you're just going to be Superman today. So
And tomorrow.
Right. So from a young age, I've always been fascinated with the idea of superheroes. And I was always this scrawny, really skinny, weak kid, pretty shy growing up. And as I was, you know, as I started to get older and really kind of went all in on this idea of nerd fitness, I wanted to dig into like the mythology behind superheroes and what made them so endearing and enjoyable to us. And not just superheroes, but, you know, our favorite heroes from movies and TV shows and things like that. And I think the thing that I really resonated with the most, and the thing that a lot of members of the Nerd Fitness Rebellion resonated with, is the idea that these superheroes have day-to-day responsibilities too. You know, Superman, when he's not saving the world or flying around it backwards to put the Hoover Dam back together,
he's being castigated for screwing up his Oxford commas and stuff.
Right, like screwing up his Oxford commas and not turning his report in or turning his article in on time. Indiana Jones, when he's not globetrotting and traveling the world and discovering buried treasure, he's a mild-mannered archaeology professor. Or, like, you know, another example from my youth, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She was a Sunnydale High cheerleader. So you have all these like really interesting examples of people that do amazing things in their spare time, but during the rest of their day, they have regular responsibilities. They have kids. They have relationships to juggle. They have bills to pay and so on and so forth. So I thought, wouldn't it be neat? And why don't we just start looking at life from that perspective? Like, yes, you're going to have a day job. Yes, you will have bills to pay and a bed to make and the floor to vacuum and laundry to do. And that version of you might be scared to try new things. And that version of you might be hesitant to walk up to somebody and say hello. But why don't you start thinking of that other, there can be this other version of you that is the superhero version of you. And that person can love to powerlift. And that person can love to run sprints. Maybe they like to world travel. Maybe they love to play music. That person can be outgoing. And when you can compartmentalize that in your brain, you can kind of like imagine, okay, what would this other version of myself do in this situation if I was a superhero? And I just fell in love with that idea. And when I shared it with the community and you know, really got people to jump on the idea of like, hey, we are all superheroes in training here. Why don't you make a second version of yourself? You can have a theme song. You can have clothes that you specifically change into. And like when I'm going to the gym and putting on my tall socks to get ready to go deadlift and I have my, you know, my ratty t-shirt and whatever, like I feel like I'm becoming a different person. And I'm at the gym, I'm almost like foaming at the mouth in between sets and like listening to, you know, heavy rock music or whatever it may be. And then I come home and I sit at my computer, I write a few articles about nerd fitness, I'll plop down on the couch and play some video games. And then, you know, I'll go back to being the alter version of me, which loves to play music and pick up heavy things and travel and is outgoing and whatever. So I really jumped on that idea with this book and encouraged people to create a character and then to start kind of assess what that version of themselves would do and then really digging into the specifics and how people can start pulling those things off as well.
That's awesome. I will give a little disclosure here, and my credibility has not been good anyway, and this will completely put a nail in it. But when I was powerlifting, I would, you know, I liked like Guns N' Roses, Metallica and stuff like that. But when I actually went to the competition, and this is just so funny that you brought this stuff up, when I would get ready to go for like a PR, I would listen to the Imperial March before.
No
trying
way.
To break a record.
Are you serious?
So I don't know. That should give me like nerd fitness Jedi correct. Level status, just like
that's
right out
perfect.
Of the gate.
Like make the bar levitate. You don't even have to actually pick it up.
Totally. Oh man. So I love that. Wait, how have people gone about doing this stuff? Like what types of things do they get into? Do they get into yoga or martial arts or rock climbing? Like what are these alter egos that people put together to you know, find this other element of themselves?
Sure. Well, I'll try not to go too far down the nerd rabbit hole here, but as somebody that grew up playing role-playing games where you get to decide if you want to be like a warrior or a monk or a druid or a wizard or whatever, and you get to kind of classify yourself based on what type of character you'd like to be in those games, I thought like, well, if you can be a superhero in real life, like, why don't we take those video game archetypes and apply them as well? So we've actually built this entire character creation system at Nerd Fitness where you can decide how you're interested in training, be it yoga, martial arts, rock climbing, powerlifting, CrossFit, and anything in between. And we've assigned real life or video game archetypes to each of those different categories. So like if you like to powerlift, you'd be a warrior. If you like martial arts or BJJ, you'd be a monk. Personally, I'm an assassin because I love to like a half assassin, half warrior because I love to powerlift, but I also love gymnastics. So we've built this whole kind of character creation system where, like, you can write your backstory, you can determine what type of alter ego you want to play, you can pick which class that you want to be. So now, like, now that Nerd Fitness has grown as large as it has, it's kind of cool. Like, if you go on the free message boards, you create your character, people aren't just like, oh, I'm a member of the Nerd Fitness community. They're like, I am a ranger, I'm level 14, and I'm a member of the Nerd Fitness community. So it's like further classification of these things. And as a result of that, people have gone all in. They've written epic backstories, and, you know, they're not just trying to break a soda habit. Like, they create like this monster that they're trying to defeat. And in order to defeat that, they must go on this quest to vanquish all soda from their apartments and things like that. It's pretty cool. And throughout the book, I love being able to share stories from people that come from each of those different classes, and they get to talk about their alter ego. So it's, you know, a single dad who is a construction foreman, spends his spare time as a monk training with his son in martial arts. And that's how they get to bond and spend really quality time together. And they both get to exercise at the same time. So I love being able to share like some real world stories of people. It's like, it's not just me, but there's regardless of who you are, where you're coming from, and what you're currently struggling with, there's another member of the rebellion who is probably in a similar situation, who might be just one or two steps ahead of you, that is really interested and would love to hear what you're struggling with and how they can help you. So those are the things I'm most proud of.
Man, it's just amazing because, you know, it's so little behavior change happens from information and then we have so much information out there. There's so much, you know, stuff you have to sift through, like, is it high carb? Is it low carb? Is it paleo? Is it vegan? So, you know, you've got this analysis paralysis thing going on. But when people really make a change, it really comes from that emotive part of us. It's not the logical part, typically, even for nerds, you know. And
absolutely.
So you've been able to tap into that emotional side and both make it fun and create this kind of, like, you know, overcoming a personal challenge thing, which is, you know, it shifts it all out of the logical part of the brain, or maybe not all, but significant amount. And you create this kind of emotive pathway where you know, the real change begins. I think it's just incredible.
Thank you. Yeah. As you said, we all know we're supposed to eat less and move more, and that eating more vegetables and less processed foods is better for you. And for a lot of members of the, you know, I think that tend to find Nerd Fitness, a lot of people that find Nerd Fitness, they're really bright people. You know, we have literal rocket scientists that read Nerd Fitness. They're sitting at a desk all day and they love video games and Star Wars, and they stumble across the website and they just can't get themselves to wrap their heads around, like, why I know I should be eating these things and I know I should be moving forward, but I can't get myself to do them. So when you reframe the perspective and, like, I'm not just doing this for me, but I'm on a quest or I'm on a mission and here's my backstory and let's have some fun with this and let's build in a system of rewards and accountability, just like in the games I love to play, and applying those game mechanics to my situation, it can help them overcome that initial inertia and remove a lot of that negative emotion that they're probably associated with exercising, and instead shift that focus to, like, what am I capable of? And, you know, I'm gaining +2 strength when I do this, or I'm gaining +2 stamina when I run a mile a little bit faster. So it's a complete mental shift, but it's one that I think I've had a lot of fun developing. And from what I've seen, people are just having an absolute blast and really running away with creating their own characters and really developing, like, the almost like the mythos, like the backstory of Nerd Fitness and the rebellion and who's a part of it and how they're shaping this world. It's pretty fun to watch.
Oh, it's so interesting. Have you done much reading with, like, Joseph Campbell?
Yes.
Okay.
I love the hero's journey, and I felt like I was on one to start Nerd Fitness. I went on another one when I was writing this book and even wrote about it in the book. So it was, like, very meta, you know, like the book itself, as a big fan of the hero's journey and Joseph Campbell, actually shaped or structured the book from, you know, each step of the hero's journey. Like, it actually walks you through that, or like it's structured in a way so that the person reading the book is the hero. I get to be the mentor, AKA the Dumbledore, or the, you know, Dumbledore, the Yoda, the Obi-Wan, whatever. And the book is hopefully that call to action for people to embrace adventure and start to look at life a little bit differently.
Wow. I'm just thinking like a million different things here. One of them is, so as science and technology has progressed, like we really don't. So, you know, like religiosity is on a downswing. And, you know, most of these things that we would maybe put in that kind of quasi-mystical category, like they're really kind of on a downshift. But I think that there's something just woven into the human psyche. And again, Joseph Campbell was so articulate in talking about this, the need for myth, the need for stories,
sure.
you know, the hero with a thousand faces. And science historically hasn't left a lot of room for that. And that's where I think this interface of like sci-fi and heroes and DC comics and all that type of stuff, like there's this interface there where we pull things, you know, out of science and credible logical thinking, but then we're able to create this mythos for ourselves and, you know, be empowered by it. It's really amazing.
Yeah, it's funny. People ask me, like, where do you get your inspiration from? And I'm like, I wish you might not believe me, but like I'm sitting here looking at Captain America's shield hanging on my wall. Mm. And hanging above me, I have pictures of Iron told whenever they were, when they could choose one food or another, one being a lot healthier than the other, they were told to ask themselves, I think it was, what would Batman do? And I'm not kidding you. When kids were told to say this and they went up to them, make it like the kids that were told to ask themselves this question, like overwhelmingly chose the healthier food because they figured like, well, Batman fights crime and Batman probably eats healthy. And if I'm going to be like Batman, I should probably make that decision as well. So I think from an early age, these characters that probably adults would think like, oh, that's silly comic book stuff or that's whatever, like they're teaching us valuable lessons. You know, I've learned a lot from Captain America and I can't wait for his next movie coming out in a few weeks and excited to learn more from him as a character and to see, you know, kind of where he goes and what that story develops into.
Oh, yes. I love all that. I just love it.
Right? You got to have freaking fun.
Yeah, and you know,
life is so short.
It is, and you know, it's funny because this is just kind of shining a light onto my whole process because I've been this kind of clinical reductionist scientific guy, you know, one foot kind of in the research scene, one foot in the used car salesman peddling of ancestral health, and I think I've been able to weave some good humor and some thoughtfulness into it occasionally, but this. This ability to bring in the mythos and have stuff that, you know, teaches us by example, you know, like little kids saying, so what would Batman eat and what would the Joker eat? You know, and it's like, oh, clearly
exactly.
Joker's like an eat like a cockroach, clearly, you know, so yeah.
Well, sure.
It's great. So you get into, excuse me, I'm just had a complete dry mouth moment here. You get into productivity habits. Talk to folks about that and how do you weave that into this whole story?
Sure. Well, as we said earlier, we all know we should be eating less and moving more. And we all say there's things we want to do, be it learn a language, practice Spanish, learn a musical instrument, book a trip. And we can never get ourselves to do those things. So I really wanted to dig into and have learned personally through a lot of trial and error and a lot of late nights due to procrastination. Like I've come to learn a few things. Like one, we're creatures of habit, and two, we're products of our environment. And you know, in the book, I equate being a product of our environment to, I think I call it building our bat cave. And I looked at that like, well, Bruce Wayne, AKA Batman, has a bat cave in which he has all these gadgets and gizmos, and that's where he. His laboratory really to build and create, and without that lab, he wouldn't be able to become Batman. So I thought to myself, like, okay, like what is my Batcave? And it's the place in which I live and the place in which I work, which happened to be the same thing. I generally work from home. And so as I learned as I'm trying to get myself to break bad habits and try to get myself to create new healthier habits or start learning a new skill that I couldn't get myself to practice before, anytime I could increase the number of steps between me and the bad habit that I'm trying to break, or decreasing the number of steps between me and the good habit that I'm trying to create, the far more likely I would be to have success. So just for example, while writing the book, I wanted to prove that the concepts of it worked outside of just health and fitness. So I learned to play the violin, and I'm still not very good at it, but I'm infinitely better now than I was before I started playing, for sure. And really, over the past, you know, year or so since starting to play, it's become something that I'm truly proud of. When I first started, I couldn't get myself to practice. I'd come home from my lesson every week and the violin would be put away in its case. And I would look at it and be like, well, I have to take the violin out of the case and I have to rosin the bow and put the sheet music on the stand and this and that. And I don't have time for that. That's going to take 20 minutes. I'll just play later when I have more time. Sure enough, later never happens, eventually never comes. I would never practice. So what I did was I changed my environment. I hacked my Batcave and I spent $10 on a cheap violin stand, and I put the violin stand directly in the middle of my living room. Mm. So as soon as I came home from my lesson, the first thing I did was pull the violin out of its case. I put it on the violin stand and it was already tuned because I knew I just came home. And sure enough, that one change cost me $10, and taking 5 seconds of work at the end of a lesson resulted in me playing hours upon hours every week instead of 0 minutes. So it works for whether you're trying to learn an instrument. Let's say you're trying to break a nasty food habit, or you're all in on paleo and you don't want to eat certain things. Like, throwing those things out of your house and making it something that you physically have to get in your car and drive to go get, you're going to be far less likely to do that than if it's readily available sitting on your counter or calling your name from the freezer or whatever it may be. So I really got big into hacking my environment and having like subtle clues that would remind me to do certain things. So whether it's post-it notes hanging on the wall to remind me to practice my handstands, or using certain websites to, or certain programs to block time-wasting websites in my computer, like I really went all in on making those adjustments and seeing how I would be subtly influenced, because I knew if I just relied on willpower or motivation, or if I only wrote when I wanted to, certain things would never get done. So I really dug into those things and learned to not trust myself and not leave it up to myself to be motivated to do things, that hacking my environment was the best way to actually get those things done.
Oh, that's fantastic. Steve, I got to ask you, what's the demographics of Nerd Fitness? Like, is it mainly male? What's the age span on this?
I want to say it's probably 60% female, believe it or not. We have a really great success story. Her name is Stacy, and Stacy found Nerd Fitness and had never picked up a barbell before, and ended up moving on and falling in love with barbell strength training, and had one of the most dramatic and exciting success stories we've ever seen on Nerd Fitness. And she has since become not only a success story for the ages, and one that has inspired, her success story has been viewed millions of times on Nerd Fitness, but she actually fell in love with fitness so much that she quit her day job and she's been working full time with me on Nerd Fitness. And earlier today, I got a text message from her. She lives down in Austin. I got a text message from her saying that she deadlifted 3 singles, so 3 individual 1 reps at 405 pounds.
Holy
and
smokes.
I think she weighs 145,
wow,
maybe. So, she competes nationally and she has fallen in love with the strength training stuff. So I have to imagine there are little girls growing up over the country being like, I want to be like Stacy when I grow up. And I'm like, geez, I want to be like Stacy when I grow up.
Seriously. Right.
So the demographic tends to be, I want to say, early 20s to late 30s, on average. I would say that probably makes up the lion's share, 60, 70% of the audience. And then we have a number of older, as we say, veteran rebels. And then we have some younger folks as well. But they tend to be people that work a desk job and they have some sort of nerdy pursuit. So we don't think of a nerd as a particular thing, but it's how much you love or how you love something. So you can be a med school nerd, you can be a band nerd, you can be a video game nerd, a bookworm, whatever it may be. Just something that you feel really passionate about. So you have this kind of quirky element to your personality that you probably don't get a chance to loudly proclaim out in public. And then you also have a at least fleeting interest or a let's see, beginning interest, I guess, in making healthier decisions for your life. And once you get into the rebellion, we like to say, once you're in for life. You know, it's not like a 30-day plan or a 90-day, whatever, or a one-week thing. It's like a, no, you're in. Like, I don't care how much success you have tomorrow. I want you to be a little bit healthier today, and tomorrow we'll deal with that again. And long-term, 10 years from now, I want you to be in the best shape of your life, and not because you're doing 30-day sprints and making yourself miserable, but because you fundamentally shifted your relationship with food. You've shifted your mental model with how you approach exercise, and you actually enjoy it. You take on challenges that are exciting to you, and you're surrounded by a community that champions you and supports you and embraces you for who you are. It's my favorite part when we get emails from people that are like, I feel like I found my new home. And we see that at camp. So we have this event that happens every September. Michelle Tam is actually from Nom Nom Paleo, will be one of our headmasters this year. And all the meals at camp will be based on recipes that she has put together, which is pretty fun. And people come to this camp and they get to be 100% themselves. And same thing with the internet part of Nerd Fitness, where they get to debate Star Wars versus Star Trek and then talk about the PR they just set on a deadlift or the new record they set for their 5K. And they don't have to hide either part of it from anybody on Nerd Fitness, because we take them for who they are. It's pretty fun.
That's fantastic. Can I sneak in on one of these retreats? I see that there's yes. only the bunk bed option. I'll get Matt Lalonde, and he and I can spoon, and we'll both get to this.
Might know a guy that can help you.
Okay, cool. I'm assuming it's a don't ask, don't tell retreat, so nobody will be the wiser about Matt and I spooning. So perfect.
It's cool. We have people from all, you know, we have people that come from. I think last year we had people from at least 12 or 16 different countries. We had 10 plus people that flew over from Australia and New Zealand. And it's crazy. Every year I keep it together during the event, but then on my trip home, I just bawl my eyes out. I'm like, I can't believe that happened. And I love everyone. And I just, you know, like, it's just like a giant hug fest, and people are trying new activities. And there's, you know, older, overweight people playing Frisbee with younger, really fit people, and nobody cares. And it's just like, we're all in this for the same reason. Let's all have some fun. And then there's this really, really active Facebook group specifically for people that have attended camp, and they talk every day, all day. They book trips to visit each other. Wow. Actually, just found out yesterday that two people that met at camp last year just got married the other day.
Wow.
it's unbelievable what is. I feel like I was smart enough to get it started, and then smart enough to get out of the way and let the inmates take over the asylum. And it's been really fun to watch and see what they can do.
That's awesome. So, you know, clearly what I've been getting from a lot of this is that you really lean on. And encourage people to lean on folks that are maybe a little bit further down a particular path. How do you encourage or instruct people to find those allies and mentors to help them get the guidance that they need?
Sure. I'm sure you've heard the phrase as well, but you know, you are the average of the five people you associate the most with, or you are the average of your allies. So I wanted to dig into that. And I realize I've been saying dig into a lot. I don't know why. Maybe I'm thinking like caveman at this point with paleo and wanting to dig things. So I thought of who I spent my time with and how those people influenced me. And I broke it down into a few categories. One, I think it's important to have a Yoda in your group, aka like a Jedi master, somebody that is ahead of you and has succeeded in a way that you want to succeed. So I don't mean going to read the latest muscle and fitness magazine about Hugh Jackman's Wolverine workout, because you are not Hugh Jackman. You don't have two personal trainers, and you don't have a dietitian, and you don't have a nutritionist, and you don't have millions of dollars on the line if you don't look like that. So instead, I think we have this, you know, we encourage people to look for others that have succeeded in the way that they want to succeed. So if you're a single mom looking for other single moms in the Nerd Fitness Rebellion, or if you are a college kid trying to date for the first time, finding other people that have succeeded in that way. So that's one. You have your Jedi master. Next, you have your kind of Jedi, fellow Jedi, somebody that is in the trenches with you. So that's somebody that's at the same level as you, somebody that is going to help keep you accountable, and you will keep them accountable. So that can be a running buddy, somebody that you check in with online in a Facebook group. It can be a friend of yours that you text every morning if you get up and go for do your exercise every day. And like, if you don't respond to them, they go donate money of yours to a political cause that you can't stand. Something that like keeps you accountable, somebody that you can check in with and help keep you on the right path. And then next, I think it's important to have your own Padawan, aka somebody that you're training. When I started on Nerd Fitness, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being an expert in health and fitness, I probably put myself at a 3 or a 4. And I was very open and honest about that and said, hey, guys, I'm here with you. I'm just a few steps ahead of you. Now I'd probably put myself at a 7 or an 8, maybe an 8 or a 9. But I knew when I started, even at a 3, there were plenty of zeros and ones and twos that needed my help. And not only could I help them, but I was probably more equipped to help them than somebody that was an expert because I knew exactly what they were struggling with because I had gone through it the years prior to that. So whoever you are, I think a great way to learn and get better at something is to teach somebody else how to do it and be honest with them and let them know where you're at in your journey. But let them know that, like, hey, you know, I just struggled with this too, and here's how I was able to succeed. It might work for you, it might not, but give it a shot. And then last but not least, I think it's important for every one of us to have a wild card in our group. This would be the Han Solo of your crew, but it's the person that is good for you, but they push you outside of your comfort zone. So as somebody that loved to sit at home and play video games, and I love the idea of travel, but I was always scared to do it, I needed a friend of mine who was more seasoned in travel and more adventurous and was up for doing those things to kind of drag me, give me that little nudge out of the door and get me started exploring and trying new things. And if I'm scared to do something, then strength in numbers, going with them because they're not afraid of that thing. So more often than not, when I'm hanging out with this friend, his name's Cash. He and I have been friends since first grade. We were in Cub Scouts together and have visited a number of countries throughout the world over the past 30 years of our 25 years of our friendship, I guess. More often than not, I end up in a situation with him where I'm like, how the heck did I get here? And Cash, what did you get me into? And sure enough, I'll come home with a story that I will never forget and an experience that has made me a better person, that has taught me a lot about a different culture or given me, more importantly, I think a story that I'll be able to tell my great-great-grandkids someday when I'm sitting on a porch on a rocket ship, you know, circling Mars when Elon Musk figures out how to get us all there.
Right. And most of the challenging situations can be cleared up with antibiotics.
That's right. So yeah, those are your four. You need your Yoda, you need a fellow Jedi, a Padawan, and a wild card.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It reminds me of a lot of martial art kind of corollaries, like in the Filipino martial arts, they talk about your first exposure to something. Like if you draw a triangle, when you see something for the first time, it's kind of the first layer of understanding. Then when you do it, it's another layer of understanding. And then finally, when you teach it, it's a whole other layer of understanding. And then also in my Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu endeavors, I'm a blue belt knocking on the door to purple belt. And interestingly, the best coaching that I've had has been lately coming from purple and brown belts. Like black belts are always good, but sometimes they're so much further down the path than what sure. I am that the next little niggling piece that I need, these purple and brown belts are like, oh, dude, you need to do this. And then they're just right on it because they
speak your language.
They speak their language, and their process is more advanced than mine, but it's not so much more advanced that the black belt is looking at me like, okay, you've got three left feet and none of them are working right. So no, love it. I love it. Steve, is all that information in the book?
Yes. I mean, I dig into that. I help people. So I spent 2011 living out of a backpack and traveling around the world and turned it in, instead of having a bucket list, which again, wasn't nerdy enough. I called it my epic quest of awesome. And I turned the world into a video game and myself as the character and created a list of quests and missions to complete. And you know, anywhere from visiting a certain country to living like James Bond in Monaco, which is the first story I tell in the book, to exploring Machu Picchu and finding Nemo on the Great Barrier Reef. And throughout the book, I kind of share that story. I share the stories of different members of the Nerd Fitness Rebellion who have gamified their existence and done that. And then I really walk people through a version of their own hero's journey, encourage them to create a character, teach them how to start pulling these things off and get them to do those things, how to build the team of people that they want on their side. And it's all done with really nerdy metaphors. And I can think of at least a few instances in the book where like I was typing the draft of it or the manuscript to hand into the publisher and was like laughing maniacally. Like, I can't believe I get to put this in a book. I'm having so much fun writing this thing. And I'm hoping that when people read it and have heard from some people, they're like, how did you get away with it? I was like, I don't know. You know, like if you go on Amazon and read the author description or the author bio for me, it is absurd because the publisher's like, well, if you want to write your own bio, go for it. I'm like, all right, you said I could, so here we go.
So. Well, when people ask me, they're like, Rob, how have you had the success you've had? And I usually say it's a clear indication of a lack of quality in the rest of the world. So maybe that's what's going on. You just happen, you know, it's kind of like in the old Bugs Bunny cartoons where they want somebody to volunteer for something and everybody takes a step back and kind of like, oh, right. I guess I'm that guy. So. Oh, that's awesome.
Well, everybody loves a reluctant hero too, right? We need those folks in our lives as well.
Right. Okay. So Steve, you need to help me with something here. I'm trying to figure out my hero's journey that I'm on right now. I just bought a small farm and I have two miniature donkeys arriving tomorrow and a couple of goats the day after that.
So awesome.
Who am I?
Oh man.
What's the superhero analog for that?
Well, it's not that this is funny. It's not that exciting of a game, but there was a game back in the day for Super Nintendo called Harvest Moon. It was literally a farming simulator. And like you had to wake up and go outside and like brush your cows and your donkeys and then, you know, and then feed your chickens and water your crops and everything. So there is a game equivalent of currently what you're doing as far as a superhero version of that. Ah, geez. I'm going to have to think like...
So what you're saying is I'm pathetic.
No, I'm saying it's like you have like you were gonna.
I have broken the nerd fitness rubric. They're like, Rob actually found a superhero path that is actually not interesting or inspiring in the least. That's awesome.
So you were building like the self-sustaining, not utopia, but like that's video game 101. Like it's SimCity. Like you're building your own farm and expanding upon it. So the game elements there, as far as superheroes go, I mean, clearly we have to work the word wolf into your superhero alter ego.
Right.
I imagine you with a giant scythe, you know, like the Grim Reaper has, but old farmers used to have as well. I don't know. We can get there. Give me 10 minutes after this and I'll come up with something.
I like where you're going. It's a good save. we've been waiting for the remodel in our house to be done. And then on our front gate, I was going to get this water cut piece of steel that, you know, was the Lazy Lobo Ranch and a sleeping wolf. So I might need to jazz that up though. That might be a little too sedate.
Wolves are in right now. The dire wolves of Game of Thrones, wolves are in right now. So Lazy Lobo, I'm into that too. I think the thing is you don't want to be the person that wakes up the Lazy Lobo, right? Cause I imagine they're just waiting to pounce. They're just conserving their energy and using it when necessary. So that can be you during BJJ or strength training, or going out all in on your farm, whatever it may be.
You know me remarkably well. I am completely lazy until I don't need to be lazy.
And then watch out, right? Well.
And then watch out. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. So Steve, this stuff is awesome. One other question.
Sure.
Can you bring kids to the retreat?
We don't have kids. What's funny is actually the very first year we did this, we have somebody that was going to be turning 18 while at camp. Mm. And we didn't realize this until, you know, a week before. And then we're like, I'm sorry, man, like you can't come alone. You know, it's due to the legal reasons. And it's a 5-day event, sleeping away. Like your mom would need to join us. And he's like, okay, cool. Can my mom come? We're like, yeah, sure. Why not? And his mom was like kind of hesitant, and his mom had so much fun. We throw these parties at the end of the night and we all sang happy birthday to him on his birthday. And she was like, this is the greatest birthday he's ever had. And he's so excited to be around his people. And it was, it's pretty cool. So it tends to be like a summer camp for adults, really. You know, we do serve alcohol. We have some pretty epic costume parties. Last year we threw a party called a Rubik's Cube party where you show up in six different colors of clothing. And, you know, like a red hat, a yellow shirt, an orange cape and whatever. And then you have to trade with other people until you end up all of the same color.
Oh, nice.
So by the end of the night, you might be in I ended last year in literally a wedding dress and like a white flower hat and gloves and whatever. It's like, well, I made it to all white. So I guess I win.
Done.
There's some pretty cool experiences that happen there. I know Michelle again from Nom Nom came last year and she was so excited when, you know, to come back again this year. We have 16 instructors that teach anything from yoga to parkour to martial arts to sword fighting to improv, swing dancing, pretty much anything that would probably scare the crap out of you, but you know would be really good for you to try. This is probably the safest environment for you to do so, and then get dressed up and look crazy at the end of the night and then wake up and do it all over again the next day.
That's awesome. Awesome. Okay, I'm just making a proclamation here. I'm closing down robwolf.com and I'm coming to work for you guys. This is
perfect.
What I'm doing is not fun enough.
We've been looking. We've had an opening for a Lazy Wolf for like 3 years now, and just nobody's been able to fill it. So I'm really excited. This is fantastic.
I will fill that demographic. It's done deal. Awesome, Steve. Remind folks where they can track you down on the interwebs, and also where the book is located.
Yeah, you can head to nerdfitness.com. We send 2 free articles a week. I hang out on Twitter at Steve Kam and Instagram at Steve Kam, STEVEKAMB. The book is called Level Up Your Life. You can buy it in bookstores nationwide or on Amazon. Or if you go to levelupyourlife.com, you can read the first chapter about my weekend living like James Bond in Monaco and create your own character, which is free. Set up your backstory and start tracking your epic quest and turn your life into a game.
Oh, awesome. I am so jealous. I am just so jealous. It's amazing. Steve, you're doing incredible work. I mean that sincerely. Like I was excited to do the interview. Really enjoyed the book and have been a huge fan of Nerd Fitness for ages. So just really a ton of fun talking to you. And I just think you're doing amazing stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, this is kind of like the mutual admiration podcast at this point. I've been a fan of yours for years as well. And I know a ton of members of the Rebellion are very familiar with your work and thankful for what you do as well. So I'm glad we finally get a chance to connect and have a fun chat and nerd out about wolves and Star Wars and the Imperial Death March.
Oh, we haven't even gotten started. When we get you back on the show, I'll go all in nerd next
time.
We'll
go full nerd.
I was being a little restrained this time. So yeah. Well, Steve, it was great chatting with you again. Congratulations on your amazing success and the fantastic work you do. And I look forward to seeing you in real life. Are you doing Paleo FX or anything like that? Or
I'm not making it down to Paleo FX, but I have no doubt in my mind our paths are going to cross very soon.
Okay. I like it. All right, Steve. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for listening to the Paleo Solution Podcast. Here's a quick message from one of our sponsors.
So I first started having trouble sleeping when, I guess I was probably in my late 20s, and my boyfriend's sister at the time, who was my best friend, at 33 was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and she had 4 children under the age of 8 at the time, and that became a very stressful situation. I'm not a mother, but I have a little taste of what motherly and household and duties and stress of life can happen. And I think that's really when my sleep troubles started.
Life stressors, like what Leah just described, are at the root of most all sleep issues. And just like Leah, most people turn to pharmaceutical sleep aids for help.
So I would go back and forth between Ambien or even Xanax just to kind of take the edge off, or lorazepam. I had a friend that's a nurse practitioner, and she's like, oh, I take lorazepam every night. Try that. It's better than Ambien. And I know this sounds so horrible, and I can't even believe I'm talking about it. Like, because there was a time when I would just be mortified that anyone would know. But pretty much every night for 7, 8, 9 years.
Leah was able to stop using these sleep aids after finding Doc Parsley's sleep cocktail.
And of course, I was skeptical, as anybody who has really bad sleep issues and have been, you know, dependent on pharmaceutical grade products to help them sleep would be. And I started drinking a sleep cocktail every night, and it probably took, I don't know, 3 or 4 nights before it started working. And if you have trouble sleeping and something helps you sleep, especially if it's not bad for you, you want to keep doing that. So I have religiously taken that for probably 3 months, and it is unbelievable. I've told everybody I know, like, oh my gosh, you will not believe this. It totally works. It would take me for like telling you about this. It's going to change your life. So now I sleep every night, like every single night I sleep.
Are you ready for a good night's sleep? Try Doc Parsley's sleep cocktail. Go to robwolf.com/sleepcocktail and use code ROBWOLF10 to save 10%.